Hi, Dave Emmer here, side two of For the Record program number 807. Update on the adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook. This has been recorded on August 24th of the year 2014. Due to the limitations of time, I'm going to plunge right back in where we left off. Citizen Greenwald, who, again, as an attorney, was a fellow traveler of some of the most heinous Nazi groups in this country. Glenn Greenwald is scored here by Charles Johnson of Little Green Footballs from Little Green Footballs of August 6th of 2014. Glenn Greenwald uses a Holocaust denier as a source, then denies it, based by Charles Johnson, and it reads, "This morning when I looked in on Twitter, I noticed a tweet by author Jeremy Duns, D-U-N-S, highlighting a comment made by Glenn Greenwald in February of this year. Duns was actually pointing out Greenwald's cozy relationship with another shady individual, but when I clicked on the tweet to see what Greenwald had written, I was astonished to see it was a link to the website of infamous British Holocaust denier David Irving. I've encountered this vile website many times over the years. Irving often copies entire news articles and posts them here, possibly to get people to link to his site without knowing what kind of site it is. So it might be possible to call this an honest mistake, except for what happened next. Because when someone then challenged Greenwald about linking to a Holocaust denial site, he didn't admit an error. Instead, he attacked and mocked the person pointing it out, then claimed he couldn't find the article anywhere else, implying that he knew all along that he was linking to a highly questionable source. Well, when I saw that last tweet challenging the object of Greenwald's derision to find a link at The Independent, I quickly Googled the first sentence of the article, and then look what popped up right away at the Irish Independent, the very same article. Court endorses use of torture to obtain terror evidence. That from the Irish edition of The Independent, the UK paper. What was Greenwald's response when this was pointed out to him? He just dropped it. No apology, no acknowledgement that he used a disreputable source, nothing. So apparently, Greenwald quickly searched to find something that backed up his narrative and didn't really care what kind of source he found. His own tweets seemed to indicate that he knew he was sending people to Irving's site, but didn't consider that important. Duns points out that this is a long-running pattern of the mighty Greenwalds. And lest we forget, yours truly has also, that by the way is Charles Johnson, has also been the target of this sloppy, unprofessional sourcing by Greenwald when he attacked me by linking to a fake graphic at an extreme right-wing site run by crazed stalkers. Just another day in the life of the ultimate alpha, ushering in a brave new era of journalism." Again, this might not in and of itself be that significant had Greenwald admitted his error instead of compounding it several-fold, but that actually disturbingly is in keeping with Greenwald, who again as an attorney was a Nazi fellow traveler and who through his WikiLeaks/Snowden association is also part of a milieu that is altogether cozy with Holocaust deniers. In a past program, we know that Glenn Greenwald gave a keynote address at the recent conference of the Council on American Islamic Relations in L.A. That has an misconceived reputation as sort of a Muslim NAACP. In fact, CAIR is very closely linked to the Muslim Brotherhood. And Glenn Greenwald's financial angel, Pierre Omidyar, who helped to finance the OUNB heirs, their coup in the Ukraine, who helped to finance the Hindu fascist and nationalist Narendra Modi's ascension in India. He's also financing Glenn Greenwald and his Intercept. From the Intercept of July 9th of 2014, there's an article by Glenn Greenwald and Murtaza, M-U-R-T-A-Z-A, Hussain, H-U-S-S-A-I-N. "Meet the Muslim American leaders the FBI and NSA have been spying on. Two in particular are worth noting. Faisal Gill, a longtime Republican Party operative and one-time candidate for public office who held a top secret security clearance and served in the Department of Homeland Security under President George W. Bush. Well, we looked at Faisal Gill at great length in For the Record 467. He is part and parcel to the Grover Norquist, Karl Rove, Talat Otman Muslim Outreach Organization, sort of like the Muslim equivalent of the Republican Ethnic Outreach Groups, which is the Nazi wing of the Republican Party, descended from the Crusade for Freedom. We've looked at that in many programs, including For the Record 465. The Islamic Free Market Institute, founded by Grover Norquist, is something that heavily overlaps the GOP and heavily overlaps the targets of the Operation Green Quest raids of March 20th of 2002. And Faisal Gill is a protege of Grover Norquist and is part of that Operation Green Quest / SAR network milieu that we looked at in For the Record 467. Again, there will be a link to that in the description for this program. Skipping down, another of the targets, Nihad Awad, the executive director of the Council on American Islamic Relations, or CARE, the largest Muslim civil rights organization in the country. Again, CARE is little more than a Muslim Brotherhood front organization, and Nihad Awad went on record as basically blaming the First World Trade Center attack on Israel and expressed serious doubts that Al-Qaeda had been involved in the 9/11 attacks as well. Basically, what we have here is Glenn Greenwald spilling the beans on surveillance of some very legitimate targets, just as Glenn Greenwald ran interference for a bunch of Nazi murderers as an attorney. Here he's running journalistic interference and counterintelligence interference for some very legitimate targets of surveillance, people who are part and parcel to the Muslim Brotherhood milieu. The Muslim Brotherhood is not a, quote, Islamic organization per se. It is an Islamic fascist organization which uses and perverts Islam for fascist purposes. It was allied with the Axis in World War II and then jumped two elements of Western intelligence, CIA in particular, and was used as an anti-communist force in the Cold War period and continues, according to all evidence, to be used as proxy warriors, elements of which continue to be used as proxy warriors against Russia in Chechnya and the Caucasus and against China in Xinjiang province. And For the Record 802, we took a look at the profound links of Luxembourg to, on the one hand, the Third Reich and the post-war underground Reich and the Bormann Flight Capital Network, and also how that Luxembourg connection, as I titled the program, linked directly to the EU and to German/underground Reich control of the EU. One of the people we spoke about was a guy named Martin Selmayr, S-E-L-M-A-Y-R, whose background is in the Bertelsmann firm. And one of his, the person who he basically used as something of a puppet. And again, due to the limitations of time, I can't describe this in any detail. There will be a link to For the Record 802, just as there will be a link to For the Record 467 in the description to the program. Those links, by the way, to the SpitfireList.com website, which carries my entire life's work, available for download for free. Now, again, the grotesque hypocrisy involved at many levels with the adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook is mirrored by the EU and by Germany and other European countries, which, again, are shocked to learn that there's gambling going on in this establishment. Not only do they do the same thing as NSA and GCHQ with far fewer protections of civil liberties, but in Germany's case, they were deeply involved with NSA, and they knew full well what was going on. Not only were they not shocked, Germany wanted in on the Five Eyes spying operation, and the EU wants to do exactly the same thing that they were so shocked shocked about. And the person that one of the people pushing for that is none other than Viviane Reding, R-E-D-I-N-G. She's from Luxembourg and a protege of Martin Selmayr from Selmayr, S-E-L-M-A-Y-R, from Bertelsmann and Germany. Again, we looked at both of them at length and in detail in For the Record 802. From the EU Observer of November 4th of 2013, EU should create own spy agency, Reding says. It's by Andrew Rettman, R-E-T-T-M-A-N. EU Justice Commissioner Viviane Reding has said the Union should create its own intelligence service by 2020. Speaking on Monday, November 4th, to Greek daily Naftem Poriki on the U.S. snooping scandal, she said, quote, "What we need is to strengthen Europe in this field so we can level the playing field with our U.S. partners," unquote. She added, again quoting, "I would therefore wish to use this occasion to negotiate an agreement on stronger Secret Service cooperation among the EU member states so that we can speak with a strong common voice to the U.S. The NSA needs a counterweight. My long-term proposal would therefore be to set up a European intelligence agency by 2020, unquote. Revelations by U.S. Leaker Edward Snowden say America's NSA intercepts millions of Europeans' emails and phone calls. Well, duh, that's been known for years. Again, there was an investigation by the European Parliament, a year-long investigation, which released its report several days before the 9/11 attacks, and it found that, surprise, surprise, several European countries did the same thing, including, by the way, Germany. Next comes something very interesting indeed. In the middle of the brouhaha about Ukraine, Germany kicked out the CIA station chief in Berlin. I'm wondering if, in addition to the NSA, I'm wondering if CIA has figured out that Germany is not our real ally and that they are doubling on us. Shouldn't be too hard to figure out, but again, I don't know what goes on behind the steel gates of Spy City. You would think that would be pretty clear at this point. Now, we're going to deal with several articles here. Again, in order to forestall the kicking out of the CIA station chief in Berlin, Germany was offered inclusion in the Five Eyes Club for which they had been pushing. Again, they not only weren't shocked about this, they wanted in. Turns out they turned that down. And it turns out that Germany, again, surprise, surprise, was spying on John Kerry and Hillary Clinton, both U.S. Secretaries of State. And what they were spying on was their activities vis-a-vis Syria. One of the conversations, I believe it was with Hillary Clinton, we'll come to it in a second, was a conversation between Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Kofi Annan, then UN Secretary General. Again, another of the things that was supposed to be shocking, was that the NSA spied on the UN. Well, pretty much everybody does. And here we have Germany spying on the UN Secretary General and the U.S. Secretaries of State, which should come as no surprise. Actually, you know, not only am I not surprised, but don't begrudge them doing such spying. We do the same thing, and we damn bloody well should continue to do it. But what is so interesting is that Germany claimed that they accidentally spied on Kerry and Hillary Clinton. That is a pile of fresh fertilizer. And the reason that the CIA station chief was kicked out is because he was receiving documents. The CIA was receiving documents from one Marcus R., as in Roger. And the documents that Marcus R. was giving to the CIA station chief were the transcripts of BND's phone taps of John Kerry's and Hillary Clinton's phone calls. And this at a time when the Syrian boilerplate, so to speak, was growing very hot over alleged Syrian government chemical warfare attacks. It now appears, although this has died very quietly, kind of like the MH17 investigation, it now appears that, in fact, it was some of the rebels that had fired the sarin attack, the nerve gas attacks. But that was at this very same time. And what Marcus R. did, the BND agent, he took the transcripts of the taps of Kerry's and Hillary Clinton's conversations and gave them to CIA. And Germany was shocked. So they kicked out the CIA chief of mission in Berlin. Again, I wonder if CIA and NSA have figured out that Germany is doubling on them, that BND is doubling on them. I don't think you have to be Sherlock Holmes or Lieutenant Columbo to figure this out, but who knows? Very quickly, several articles covering what I just highlighted. Bloomberg News, July 12, 2014. Article by Patrick Donahue, D-O-N-A-H-U-E, and John Walcott, W-A-L-C-O-T-T. U.S. offered five, U.S. offered Berlin five eyes. Pact Merkel was done with it, reads in part. U.S. Ambassador John Emerson made his way to the foreign ministry in Berlin, armed with a plan to head off the worst diplomatic clash of Angela Merkel's chancellorship. Emerson came to the July 9th meeting with an offer authorized in Washington. Provide Germany a U.S. intelligence-sharing agreement resembling one available to four other nations. The goal was to assuage Merkel and to prevent the expulsion of the CIA's, of the Central Intelligence Agency's chief of station in Berlin. It wasn't enough. Skipping down. The onus is on the U.S. to suggest solutions, and German officials are waiting to hear what Kerry will propose, according to a German diplomat who asked not to be identified discussing the conflict. I would interject, they can probably hear exactly what John Kerry is proposing because they are monitoring his phone. As we shall see. Quote, we are not currently looking to alter the Five Eyes structure, unquote, said Caitlin Hayden, C-A-I-T-L-I-N-H-A-Y-D-E-N, a spokesman for the White House's National Security Council, in an emailed statement. Quote, but we remain open to discussions with our closest allies and partners, including Germany, about how we can better coordinate our intelligence efforts. And from the AP story. So again, Germany was offered the Five Eyes inclusion. They turned it down. This after the CIA station chief in Berlin was kicked out of the country for obtaining transcripts of BND's taps on Kerry's and Hillary Clinton's conversations, including a Hillary Clinton conversation with Kofi Annan, then UN Secretary General. Again, part of the whole brouhaha over the adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook, was that the NSA spied on the UN. Well, so the hell does everybody else, including, obviously, the BND, which should come as no surprise, and I certainly wouldn't begrudge anybody doing it. The UN is a perfectly legitimate intelligence target. That's part of spycraft, which is part of statecraft. AP story from August 16th of 2014. Report, German intel spied on Kerry and Clinton, is by Frank Jordans, J-O-R-D-A-N-S, reads in part. Germany's foreign intelligence agency eavesdropped on calls made by U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry and his predecessor Hillary Clinton, German magazine Der Spiegel reported Saturday. The respected news weekly reported that the agency, known by its German acronym BND, tapped a satellite phone conversation Kerry made in 2013 as part of its surveillance of telecommunications in the Middle East. The agency recorded the conversation between Clinton and former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan a year earlier, Der Spiegel claimed. The magazine didn't give a source for its information, but said the calls were collected accidentally, that the three officials weren't directly targeted, and that the recordings were ordered destroyed immediately. Accidentally, huh? Take that with a generous dose of salt. Or perhaps get a pitchfork or shovel and take that fresh fertilizer and put it on your garden. It will be good for you. Good for the garden. Skipping down. If true, the revelations will be embarrassing for the German government, which has spent months complaining to Washington about alleged American spy activity in Germany. And skipping down again. Moving on, I should say, to another article. This is from thestar.com of August 16th of 2014. This is an article by the McClatchy News Service. It's by Matthew Schofield, S-C-H-O-F-I-E-L-D. Germany accidentally spied on Hillary Clinton and John Kerry. I love this accidentally stuff. I mean, it just, Well, that's why I use my little Eddie the Friendly spook voice at the beginning. I mean, some of this is ludicrous on its surface, and it's just amazing to me that people take this stuff seriously. They really, their proper intellectual fare should be Saturday morning kids cartoon shows, because they really don't seem to be capable of grasping anything too very much more sophisticated. Again, thestar.com, August 16th, 2014. Germany accidentally spied on Hillary Clinton and John Kerry. McClatchy News Service story by Matthew Schofield reads in part, the German Foreign Intelligence Agency has admitted tapping at least one unquote phone call each by current U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry and then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton while they were aboard U.S. government jets, according to German media reports. The reports claim Kerry's intercepted communication was a satellite phone call from the Middle East in 2013. Clinton's communication was also a satellite call in 2012 and was reportedly to then-United Nations Secretary Kofi Annan. Both calls were reported to have been intercepted accidentally while German intelligence was targeting terror suspects in the Middle East and North Africa. Skipping down. In a twist that connects this tale to the broader spying scandal, the new reports note that after Clinton's phone call was picked up, an order from the BND leadership was sent out to delete the communication. But the German charged with deleting the conversation was Marcus R., as in Roger, who has been charged with selling 218 secret official documents to U.S. intelligence, and rather than deleting the conversation, sold the transcript to his American contacts. Marcus R., who under German law cannot be fully identified unless he is convicted, allegedly made a total of €25,000 or $32,500 by selling the documents to the CIA. That's why the CIA station chief was kicked out of Berlin. Skipping down again. Both Kerry's and Clinton's phone calls were picked up while they were flying over conflict areas. The German phone tapping program in the Middle East is well known to U.S. officials. During the Syrian conflict, and particularly after the chemical weapons attacks of August 2013, there was quite a bit of discussion of Syrian official conversations picked up by German intelligence. And for a while, German intel was gaming the field, so to speak, saying, yep, the Syrians use chemical weapons, we've got to respond. That changed, however. Note that the CIA station chief was kicked out for receiving transcripts of German intel's taps on Kerry's and Clinton's phone calls vis-a-vis Syria and the chemical weapons attacks. Of course, those were just made accidentally, unquote. And I'm sure that the German government, Angela Merkel, and the BND chief were shocked at the development. One of the points that I have made also in connection with Eddie the Friendly spook, first of all, the Internet itself was developed by the military, so it should come as no surprise that the NSA is all over that thing. And also, I pointed out that people think nothing of putting all of their information on Facebook. I really don't have any sympathy, frankly, for the public in this regard, because they have embraced the panopticon with great enthusiasm. For the record, 718, done on Independence Day weekend of 2010, I warned that Facebook was a panopticon, in effect. A panopticon was a type of prison envisioned by Jeremy Bentham, in which the jailers could see the imprisoned person at all time, and that person could at no time see their jailers. And indeed, the largest stockholder in Facebook is Peter Thiel, who is also the largest stockholder in Palantir, of the company that its disclaimers to the contrary notwithstanding, almost certainly makes the Prism software. So it should come as no surprise at all that, in fact, Facebook is monitoring its users' activities and emotions for the military, and one of the companies that is doing that is, you guessed it, boys and girls, Palantir. You win the prize. Patrick Tucker from Quartz Blogspot of July 3rd of 2014. The U.S. military is already using Facebook to track your mood, unquote. Critics have targeted a recent study on how emotions spread on the popular social site Facebook, complaining that some 600,000 Facebook users did not know that they were taking part in an experiment. Skipping down. It turns out that the university, that's Cornell, is currently receiving Defense Department money for some extremely similar-sounding research, the analytics of social network posts for, quote, sentiment, unquote, i.e. how people are feeling, in the hopes of identifying social, quote, tipping points, unquote. And skipping down again. Open-source intelligence can take a variety of forms, but among the most voluminous, personal, and useful is Facebook and Twitter data. The availability of that sort of information is changing the way that the DIA, that's the Defense Intelligence Agency, trains intelligence operatives. Long gone are the spooks of old who would fish through trash for clues on targets. Here to stay are the eyes looking through your vacation pictures, skipping down. The growth of social media has not just changed day-to-day life at agencies like DIA. It has also given rise to a mini gold rush in defense contracting, and of the firms that do this, some of them are well known, like Palantir, P-A-L-A-N-T-I-R, by the way, the Silicon Valley data visualization giant that's been featured prominently in Bloomberg Businessweek and has graced the cover of Forbes. Well, surprise, surprise. Again, the largest stockholder in Palantir, Peter Thiel, largest stockholder in Facebook. And other companies are discussed here as well, including a company called SnapTrends in Austin, Texas. And last but certainly not least, one of the things I warned about in this series, you shouldn't be afraid of the NSA. I mean, not only do all intelligence services, including NSA, vacuum up things from the Internet, but it is the internet companies themselves that are interested in every last aspect of your personal life. NSA and GCHQ don't care if you break wind in your cubicle at work, but others do. The last post here is from OCanada.com of July 31st of 2014. Facebook's Messenger app has a significant amount of access to your smartphone. I'm quoted this by Patrick O'Rourke, and I'm going to summarize this. The article is excerpted at length in the description for the Record 807. Basically, Facebook's invasion of privacy, it's forcing all of its smartphone users to install a new messaging app. The Android version of the app, and to a lesser extent the iPhone version as well, allows Facebook to access your phone camera and record audio, call, and send messages without your permission, identify details about you and all of your contacts, and send that information on to third parties. If you want to carry on sending and receiving messages on Facebook, you now have no choice but to install Facebook Messenger. Well, that's all we have time for today. Be sure to stay tuned, boys and girls, for another exciting episode of The Adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook. Remember, Eddie's not like those other spooks. They're scary and mean. Eddie is your friend. That concludes For the Record 807. Update on The Adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook being recorded on August 24th of the year 2014. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.